Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Hi, this is Alyssa Bormis. I'm your guest host today on the Rediscover Hour. And Patrick Conley, who's usually your guest host, is off today. I'm just filling in for him, so I'm your guest host. A little bit about myself. I'm an educator, author, speaker, retreat leader. I teach at Chesterton Academy in Edina, Minnesota. I've written for the Catholic Spirit, the Wine blog, and a host of other things. I have my own radio show on Christian Witnesses in the Church on Radio Maria, and I'm the author of The Catechism of Hockey. But I'm so grateful to be here today on the Rediscover Hour. We have some great guests today, and I'm just going to jump right in with our first guest. You probably heard him, but maybe don't recognize his first name. You might recognize him as the singer of Sonar, but his name is Nate Reinhart. Nate, welcome. How are you?
I'm good, Alyssa. It's good to be with you.
And now you're a singer, songwriter, everything, musician, but also working with youth, everything. But the thing that I'm most interested in, because this is what I did my research on is before the show, is your new album, The Marriage of the Lamb. I love it.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's been a long time coming. I started writing songs for this probably even 8 years ago, some of the first songs for this.
Wow.
And it takes a long time for me to write and to get it to a point where I actually am happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd been writing songs for a while, and my drummer from church, Joey, kind of just really pushed me to get some of the songs down and get them into an album. And years and years later, it's finally done, which I don't know if I'm very proud of the product, but I'm just also very happy that I
right.
finished it.
Isn't it amazing when you finish a big project like that, the relief, but then that it's going to take on its own life, that in a certain sense you've given birth and now it's up to everybody else and not so much up to you anymore. It's in everybody else's hands.
Yeah, it certainly is. It's out there, and it kind of, I don't know if it lives on its own. I mean, it really is a work of art, and you know, you create art for just that sake of obviously glorifying God, but also just to let art be art. You know,
yeah.
A lot of people want to make or produce a CD for its marketability,
right?
Or what audience will help them raise income. And kind of throughout this project, even with some of the studio musicians, they'd always say, "What are you going to do with this?" I said, "I don't know. I'm just making it to make it." You know.
Right.
For that, I'm very proud of it. I'm very proud. Just, I think, it's sometimes you create something and you lose it over time. You don't like it. It kind of
right.
has this curve that goes down in your own opinion, even of what's created. But this one, just I listen to it over and over again, and it just has been able to stay with me. So I'm really happy with that, and I think a lot of the extra time and all the time that went into it kind of created that and made that possible.
The title of the album is The Marriage of the Lamb, and I know that that title song you took from Revelation 19. I love Revelation. It's mm-hmm. fantastic, and the Supper of the Lamb, the wedding feast. Mm-hmm. Tell us about why chapter 19 was your inspiration for this song.
Yeah. I mean, I think that praying through the divine office, like, and seeing it, it's the Sunday evening canticle. And there's something about, I think, I've heard it described as the overarching narrative of Scripture, that God, in a sense, wants to marry you, that there's this feast that ends at the very end of Revelation mm-hmm. in chapter 19. And of course, we get the very first instance of marriage right in Genesis, right at the beginning. And so it's the entire album, I think, that focuses on that. It focuses on the intimacy between us and Christ.
Yeah.
That intimate relationship So every single song on the album, I call it a concept album, or which is basically where you try to write all the songs around one single concept and let it flow throughout. And so every single song is a point of that relationship, is a point of discovering that relationship, of building that relationship, mm-hmm. or having struggles in it, and eventually, you know, culminating with that wedding feast of the Lamb.
Well, I love the a few songs on here, but when you're talking about the relationship, I especially liked Let Us See Your Face, mm-hmm. and that we are, I work with youth as well, and I think of that they really, really want to see his face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the basis for that song was a homily by St. Peter Chrysogolos, and in it, he says something to the extent of, it's intolerable, and I don't have it right in front of me, but it's intolerable for love to not want to see the face
right.
of the object of its love, of its desire.
Right.
And he goes through just salvation history and how many people are just longing from David in the Psalms into the New Testament, just longing to see the face of God, and that's where love leads us. That's where relationship leads us, is to be able to actually gaze upon the object of that love.
Mm-hmm.
And that song really just came straight out of that homily. Some of the songs on this took a long time to write, months and months and mm-hmm. months. That was one that took just a few days, because
wow.
it really flowed out of that sacred text, you know, and I really try to lean as much as I can on scripture and on sacred texts to write songs, just because you know the theology is solid,
yeah.
rather than if I have to come up with it myself.
Right. Well, and plus the material is so rich.
Absolutely.
That it's you can just keep diving more deeply into it. It's fantastic. The other one I love, as we're talking about relationship, is Be My Desire.
Mm-hmm.
And that... sometimes Christ isn't our desire, but that we have to pray for him to be the desire. And your music helps us pray.
Yeah. I have a note that I remember when I wrote Be My Desire that just is in the margins of my like little notebook that just basically says, you need to be able to pray this song.
Oh.
And so I have a tendency to be a little bit too cerebral when I write. And that song in particular, like I was able to just say, this is just going to be just a prayer that I can pray. And that's kind of at the heart of that tune.
Fantastic. Nate, will you come back with us after the break?
Absolutely.
Perfect.
Rediscover.
Listen closely. You don't have to live with knee pain. You heard right. If you're 65 or older and suffering from knee pain, you may qualify for an advanced pain-relieving brace at little to no cost to you. Doctor Approved Medical, America's trusted resource for knee braces, will work with Medicare or insurance benefits to see if you qualify for these knee braces. Many people are now using our knee brace as an alternative to surgery or harmful medications and experience pain relief they haven't felt in years. The only way to see if you qualify is to call us. 800-759-2118. One of our friendly experts will handle all paperwork and have it delivered for free. Don't let your knee pain turn into something worse. Find out now about these advanced knee braces now covered by Medicare or insurance benefits. Call now and get free shipping, plus a complimentary, easy-to-use pedometer. 800-759-2118. 800-759-2118. 800-759-2118. Little to no cost with full insurance payment, copay, and deductible supply promo, subject to qualification while supplies last.
Come with your light and fill up my heart. Oh, great light of the world, fill up my soul. I'm ever many.
Hi, welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm your guest host today, Alyssa Bormas. And so grateful to be here. And we're right in the middle of the Christmas octave. And so Merry Christmas to everybody. It's fantastic. Every single day for 8 days is Christmas. What's better than that? And we're here today with Nate Reinhardt. He is known for being the lead singer of Sonar, But Nate is singing on his own as well, and he has a new album out, his debut album, The Marriage of the Lamb. Nate, welcome back.
Thank you.
Now, there was one song that caught my eye, or ear, I suppose is the way to say it. And when I was doing my research, listening to your album, and here we are in the middle of Christmas, and we're going to talk about a song that has more to do with Holy Week. But the song is Remember Abraham, but tell us how you came up with this.
How I came to this song is, I think, beautiful and embarrassing, I think, at the same time.
Fantastic.
Because like all good, musical compositions, it starts with Dolly Parton. There's a song by Ray LaMontagne called Jolene. And it's a beautiful song. I really like Ray LaMontagne. I love his voice and kind of his very rootsy feel. And I was in the impression, kind of the first time hearing this song, that he had basically created a new version of Dolly Parton's Jolene, which is, of course, an old, just famous country song. What he had done is he had changed, taken the characters from Dolly Parton's Jolene and kind of changed the perspective mm-hmm. of it from the guy rather than from Dolly's perspective. And so I was looking at that thinking, wow, I didn't know that you could do that. I didn't know that you could take somebody else's song and then completely change their perspective of it. Everything in the music is different. It's a completely different song, but the characters are kind of still mm-hmm. there. And so I had seen this song by Sufjan Stevens called Abraham, and it's a very simple song. It's Isaac and Abraham going up the mountain to sacrifice Isaac. And his song is simple, it's beautiful, and I had come across another homily in the Liturgy of the Hours that really took the story of Isaac and Abraham and then looked at it from the perspective of God the Father and Christ the Son on Holy Week. Mm. Here you have, in one case, a father who's stopped by the angel at the last minute, and then you have a father who goes all the way through with the sacrifice of his son of Christ. Mm-hmm. And I just thought this parallel was really beautiful. So I, did the same sort of thing, just re-looking at Isaac and Abraham from the perspective of God the Father and Christ the Son. Long story short, I did a little bit more research about Ray LaMontagne and Dolly Parton and finds out the songs have nothing in common. I had misheard some of Ray LaMontagne's words completely. I still don't know if you can take somebody else's songs, well, characters, and redo them, because I don't have an instance of that actually happening. This is one of my favorite songs on the album, and it demonstrates one of our hopes in the album, which was to make it sound a little different.
Yeah.
A lot of Christian music tends to sound the same.
Right.
It starts to become its own genre just on its sound.
Right.
And in reflection, we were really hoping to look at the breadth of Scripture and sacred text and say, you know, the music should be as complex and diverse as those texts are, as our tradition
right.
is. And so that when we end up creating our own genre, we're in trouble. So this is, I mean, it sounds a little bit different. There are some different sounds in here. It's kind of vibraphone-based.
Mm-hmm.
You hear a lot of vibraphone in it, just some weird percussion, and it tries to kind of get a sense of the desert, but also get a sense of the darkness that we're talking about.
Well, let's take a listen. I loved it when I heard it first. Let's listen to Nate Reinhardt's song, Remember Abraham.
Let the sun
loved it.
Thank you.
The song is Remember Abraham. It's from Nate Reinhardt's new album, his debut album, The Marriage of the Lamb. Nate, obviously this is such a fresh sound from what you were saying, from what we normally hear of Christian music. What keeps everything fresh for you and new? And you've been working in a parish for 13 years. You've been singing with Sonar. What keeps everything fresh?
That's a great question. I think that just the possibilities in music keep things fresh. Just similar to the possibilities in prayer. That when you find yourself getting in a rut with songwriting or with kind of the music that you're doing, there's just so many other things to try and to do. There's just this breadth of things. And in the same way with prayer, if you've been doing the rosary and somehow that's gotten a little bit dry, there's so many other things to do in prayer. So that's, I think, something that keeps it fresh. And I think that with music and being able to work in it for so long, it's something that I've never, you never lose a love for. There's always something new and different to do, and it really keeps things fresh even on its own.
And well, it's obviously your passion. You hear it in everything that you do, that you're so passionate about it, but that you've tied it into this passion with Christ. Have you always been faithful?
I grew up in a Catholic household, and my mom teaching, I guess we call it religious ed now, but it was once PSR and it was once CCD. But I think that, I really had a conversion of making my faith my own and not my parents, my junior year of high school. I had some friends from school invite me to a youth group, and that began a journey of intimacy with Christ. And it certainly didn't start off as intimacy, but it just making that a real and just priority relationship.
One of my favorite things on your bio that I just love is the last line. You say, ultimately, Nate is a broken human being to whom God has shown mercy. I love that, and that we're all broken, and the mercy that has come in your life, and how does it all tie together in this album, The Marriage of the Lamb?
Well, I mean, first of all, I hate writing bios, so the fact that you brought anything out, writing or talking about myself is not any part of me, and I think, I paraphrase that whole last line from Pope Francis anyway.
Nice.
I think there in any kind of songwriting there needs to be an honesty, and that honesty is just the realization that I am a broken human being in need of mercy. And if you're songwriting well or you're being honest with yourself, you allow that to show through in the music.
This has been fantastic. I love having had you on today.
Thank you.
And this also your conversion. As a junior in high school, this will tie in just perfectly with our next guest anyway. But Nate, thank you so much. Again, it's Nate Reinhardt. He has been leading worship music in the Twin Cities for over a decade. You know him as the singer of Sonar, but now he has a new album, The Marriage of the Lamb. Nate, where can we get the album?
You can get it on my website or, iTunes. I think my website is natereinhardt.com or Nathan. If you search for it on iTunes...
The Marriage of the Lamb.
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
No problem.
This is Carrie Becker of Becker Building and Remodeling. Have you been considering a kitchen remodel to update your home? Did you know that in about 1 month we can totally update your kitchen and make it more useful and functional? We've updated dozens of kitchens for Relevant Radio listeners to improve the value and enjoyment of their home. Our design and remodel team will take the stress and guesswork out of the project, and with our competitive pricing, you'll get even more value than you expect. Plus, our work is guaranteed. We can include beautiful custom cabinets, granite countertops, and center islands. We also specialize in opening up your floor plan by removing walls that are no longer needed. We can begin the design and build process today if you call me at 612-363-0493. Becker Building and Remodeling, a Catholic-owned business you can trust. Keep on listening and keep the faith. See our work at choosebecker.com or call me at 612-363-0493 for a visit about updating your kitchen.
By my side to be everything I'm not. Angel side, I breathe deep the breath of God. I cannot find another sky. Thoughts are heavy and they cloud my eyes. When I'm searching for the sun, will you rise up quickly?
Hi, this is Alyssa Bormas. I'm your guest host today for the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. And welcome back. It's Christmas, so Merry Christmas. We're in the octave, and every day of these 8 days is Christmas. It's fantastic. I love a church that gives you 8 days of Christmas. I am here now with Paul Ives. He is with Net Ministries Partnership Program Manager. Paul, welcome. How are you?
Great, Alyssa. Thanks. It's great to be here. I got to say, this is my first appearance on Catholic Radio, but I will say I'm very grateful for Catholic Radio. It had a huge, both Catholic Radio and television had a huge impact on my own spiritual conversion. I grew up in a rural Iowa area, so we didn't have vibrant life teen programs,
right,
or stuff like Net Ministries, or, you know. And so Catholic radio and television both became just, I think, an important outlet for me and, you know, being challenged in my faith, helping me,
right,
understand apologetics. I can name many, many speakers, you know,
right,
starting with Jeff Cavins.
Yeah,
who
absolutely.
Just, he's the reason I ended up becoming a Net missionary and,
wow,
just really got interested and fired up and excited about the Catholic faith in my early 20s.
You know what? Jeff had a lot to do with my, I was coming home to the church and just home. And actually, Jeff and I have a mutual spiritual father in Bishop Paul Dudley.
Oh,
and,
yes. Yeah.
And Bishop Dudley told me, you have to take the journey, the Bible journey with Jeff Cavins.
Yes,
and
yes,
it changed my life as well.
Absolutely.
Nice.
I started with Our Father's Plan back,
yeah,
in 1998 on VHS tape, and where he did that with Scott Hahn.
Yeah.
Guess the rest is history.
Well, a little tribute to Jeff today. That's
absolutely
fantastic.
Absolutely.
And now Net Ministries is National Evangelization Teams. Tell us a little more about Net. Maybe someone hasn't heard about Net yet. They're just tuning
in. Yeah, for those of you who maybe haven't heard of Net Ministries, we started in 1981. Just very humble beginnings. It was just a group of young Catholic men and women. I think most were like college graduates and got this idea of just getting together and traveling, spending 1 month. They said, what kind of impact could we have if we just went out and did retreats in Catholic schools and parishes for 1 month? And so after that, it was, you know, the reception went really well. And then it became, okay, what if we commit missionaries to 9 months of service? What kind of impact could we have? How many youth could we reach for Christ? And so over the years, obviously, Net, you know, starting with just one team back in 1981, is up to 16 teams.
Oh, wow.
Today.
You know, we had, I graduated high school in 83, which makes me about 29, almost 30 years old. And I think we might have had one of the very first Net teams there. Yeah.
Yes, probably.
And that, it did make that, a big impact on me.
Absolutely. And it isn't so much about, you know, that Net team members are just, you know, great at theology or knowing every aspect of the Catholic faith, but they just live this authentic life for Christ and they share it with other people. And youth today, I mean, they're hurting. They just, and it was the same in the 1980s,
yeah,
the 90s. I heard the same thing back, back in the 90s when I served. You know, mm-hmm. you always heard about, kids having kids, guns in school, and the problems are very similar today. And the solution is always to bring, young men and women out there who are authentically living the faith and just bringing it to the youth. And no matter what, even if they don't have all the answers, they can't mm-hmm. answer every single Catholic doctrine, they share the love of Christ. And that's what has the impact in the end.
It's that witness that they
have. It's the witness, absolutely, absolutely.
How do people get onto Net Ministries?
Oh, good question. I would say if you know anyone between the ages of 18 and 25 who might be interested in serving in Net, you can go to our website, and it starts with an interview retreat weekend, okay? So we don't... it's a gradual process, let's say, if someone's like myself, I just, honestly, I was watching EWTN and I found out, I learned they had someone on Net Ministries there, and I called up Net right away. So my story's a little different. Then within a month, I went to an interview retreat weekend. I closed on my apartment.
Wow.
I moved out. I was in the National Guard, and I had to get permission to go serve as a missionary for 9 months. And so I did all this stuff within, just a very short time frame. And it was awesome. But it is the interview retreat weekend that really, really helps a young Catholic discern whether or not they're called to this ministry. It also helps Net Ministries discern, too.
Right.
So Net Ministries offers many interview weekend retreats. We have some coming up in January, actually, here in St. Paul, and we have them out in Texas, Ohio, California, several places. But that one weekend is great for, any young Catholic, even if they think, boy, I don't know if I could do this or
yeah.
not. Just go to the interview retreat weekend. You'll,
yeah.
It's hard to describe. You just get really woken up in your faith, and you see other young Catholics living it out. And, by the end, I think for many of them, it becomes really clear that this is something, whether this is something they really want,
right.
or if, maybe God's calling them to do something else.
Right.
But no matter what, you can't go wrong. If you're a young Catholic between 18, 28, go to a Net interview retreat weekend and let God take it from there.
Well, I would say if you're feeling the slightest tug to go, just to go, because it's just a weekend, and you never know yeah. what God's going to do with your
yes,
life.
Yes, absolutely. No one has ever come away from an interview
right.
weekend and said, oh, I wish I didn't go there.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
It's fantastic. And then once you're on a team, I know you have teams that travel, but then you have some teams that stay put in one place for the 9 months.
Right, right. So what you're referring to is we have travel teams, and that's really was how Net Ministries started.
Mm-hmm.
There's this, I love this tagline one of our marketing guys came up with, one backpack, one suitcase, one gospel mission. So you think of,
great.
Almost like a Catholic reality show where these, but it's real,
But it is real.
It is real,
yeah.
Yes. These young missionaries spend 9 months of their life traveling about 20,000 miles in a van
wow.
from diocese to diocese, conducting over 100 high-energy retreats and impacting over 8,000 youth. And actually, that's what attracted me to Net. I was a tank driver, I was a loader, and then I was a
wow.
gunner on an M1 tank. And I love
wow.
this idea of just getting up in the morning and having a mission to do.
Yeah.
And so I got out of active duty Army and I joined the National Guard. Of course, they used to call us weekend warriors. They're not
right.
really anymore. But for me, it was the sense of purpose, the sense of having a mission. So those are the traveling teams, as I described.
Right.
Because of the success of the traveling teams, parishes started saying, well, what if a Net team could come here for a whole year rather than
wow.
3 hours or 6 hours? what kind of long-term impact could this have on our youth, and not only on our youth, but on the whole parish ministry program?
It has to be not only impactful for the parish and the youth that are having the NET team, but I would think that the men and women on the NET team, that it must be miraculous in many ways for them.
Yes, absolutely. You hit the nail on the head in there. And I mean, I can attest to that personally. Any NET alum you talk to mm-hmm. will tell about how this year of service, it really profoundly, the biggest impact it has on a NET missionary is their prayer life.
Mm.
It's just getting that discipline of having the daily devotional prayer life and letting God talk to you. There's many other skills you learn.
Wow.
Obviously, traveling in a van with 10 to 12 other young adults, you learn a lot about communication.
Oh,
you learn
my.
A lot about conflict resolution. I mean, if you have a beef with someone on your team, you can't just hide it and let it go. I mean, it's there for everyone to see.
Yeah,
so,
right.
So you better wait until we, you know, as soon as we find the next rest stop, you know, you're going to go resolve this conflict.
Wow.
And the great thing is NET Ministries trains you how to do that too. NET is
wow.
very, very intentional about making sure missionaries, the first 2 weeks of training before we teach how to do a retreat, it's all focused on how to get your prayer life together. What is your relationship with God?
Wow.
We don't just come in assuming, oh, everyone's got it together. Mm. No, we're all sinners, and we all need hope. We know we need hope, and we need help, and we know this is not an easy thing we're asking people to do. It is going to be one of the most challenging and rewarding years of their life.
Yeah.
So that is one of the things NET training does, is really equip them to be able to really not only survive, but thrive in that area. And the bonds created by team members who serve on NET is amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. I've witnessed it. Many friends having been NET team members. And I would think that these skills take them so far in their lives, in either the marriage or in religious life or single life, that you have to have these skills.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And as you know, and you can get all these stats from our website, but about 85% of our NET alums currently volunteer at local parish or, you know, Catholic schools. About 45%, this was interesting from a recent survey, are pretty much serving at some kind of parish or school level.
Wow.
They're either teaching at a Catholic school, or they're a DRE, or they're a youth minister at a parish. And then, of course, we have, you know, 14 to 15% go into priesthood or religious life. So those are, you know, that's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, when we're not talking just the, you know, 8,000 youth that a NET team reaches in a year, but the impact that goes into eternity.
Wow. Yeah. I never even thought of that, the impact that goes into eternity. And if you're wondering, what does God want me to do? I just go back to that weekend, that maybe it isn't being a NET minister, but that weekend of finding out might help you find your path anyway.
Absolutely, absolutely. Just attending the interview weekend in itself. And one night, this is, I guess, a good problem to have with NET, but we actually have a lot more applicants than we have spots for them.
Wow.
On the team. And sometimes we have to make hard decisions and say, right. You know what, I think this person isn't quite ready to serve yet,
right.
But we want to, you know, suggest some practical things they do in the next year or two to maybe kind of improve those things,
right.
Build themselves up, and come back and try it again. And
right.
I mean, I know many NET alums who will say, you know, I went to the interview weekend, it was awesome, but I didn't get accepted, and it was
wow.
so disappointing. But I came back the next year and applied, and then you know, and I was ready to go. And I was ready to
and
go.
And what the miracles God will do in that year if you weren't accepted anyway.
Yes, absolutely.
And then on you go. Do you have a favorite miracle of either a team member or yourself or someone impacted?
You know, the thing when you full-time on staff, I get a glory story in my inbox almost every single day.
Right.
But, you know, it's funny. My year on net here, and there was I'm trying to remember what happened, but it was actually interesting. Our net team, half of our net team, one of the host families they were staying at, took them out to eat at Perkins. And so you have these young Catholic evangelists on fire, you know, this
lined up in Perkins.
Somehow discussions happen.
Yeah.
And then before too long, half of my net team was doing prayer ministry with people sitting in the Perkins restaurant. Yes.
That's fantastic. How does someone get a hold of NET?
The easiest way, just go to netusa.org.
Perfect. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Alyssa. It's been great.
God bless you.
God
We're going to be right back with more Rediscover Hour.
If guys in the audience could do one thing in terms of their faith journey to be better husbands, better friends, better fathers, whatever that might be, the answer from you is always...
Go to confession.
I knew that. There's such power in this sacrament.
Put on the full armor of God so you can stand against the tactics of the devil. It literally is that state of grace, Chuck. It's that armor.
As Pope Francis asked, when was the last time you went to confession? He said, but our sins are not just against God. They're also against our brothers and sisters and against the church. He said, but some of you will say, but Father, I'm ashamed. I'm embarrassed. But he said, no, a little shame is good. And what that tells you is that your conscience is working. And he said, it's good to have a little shame because that way we can correct ourselves.
Clear Catholic teaching.
Sacramento della Reconciliazione.
This is Relevant Radio.
And I just showed up for my own life. And I'm standing here taking it in, and it sure looks bright. I'm gonna live my life in...
Hi, welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I am your guest host today, Alyssa Bormas. And Merry Christmas. We're in the middle of the octave. We've been speaking with all sorts of people who have impact on youth, especially. And we have another guest. His name is Ryan Lutsis. Ryan, are you there?
I am. Thank you for having me today.
Welcome. I know you are a traveling missionary with NET Ministries. I was just speaking with Paul Ives with NET. But one of the things I found so interesting is Paul has this background life as a 20-year military veteran. You were, am I right, a firefighter before you came to NET?
I was for 2 years.
Wow, that's fantastic. I love the wide variety of people coming to NET Ministries. How did you decide to become a NET missionary?
You know, it's one of those things that kind of just happened, you know, and I'm from Washington State, so it's not as well known as in Minnesota, so it actually was... I was firefighting, you had mentioned, for 2 years. And then, you know, it's one of those things that God just put into place. I had a surgery and was told not to do that anymore. And then one thing happened after another, and I heard about it through a friend and pushed me to do it. And next thing I know, I'm turning in an application, and I'm going on this interview weekend to something I have no idea what it's about. This was... not this October, but the one before. And then I go on this weekend and you just experience these people who are so on fire. They're just so wanting to spread the love of God that it just captivates you. And through this journey and meeting these people, I was like, okay, I want to do that. You know, I crave to do that. And through accepting and being accepted by NET, it just created this strong urge and desire to serve in this way towards the youth, which is a population who is widely overlooked, and it's so amazing and how it just kind of one thing led to another, and now I'm here today. So
Did you, before you went on the weekend, because I was speaking with Paul about that that weekend where you just introduced to Net, were you craving, as you said, serving the youth, or did that craving come after being there?
Alyssa, I can't hear you very well.
I was just saying that after I was speaking with Paul about the introduction weekend and how transformative that is, were you craving serving the youth before you went, or did that really happen after the weekend?
You know, growing up, I kind of was in and out of serving the youth, whether it was through youth group or whether it was finding a way to do that in the church, but not in a way of a missionary. You know, before the mm-hmm. interview weekend, like Paul mentioned, it's transforming to where I never thought I would be a person to go out and go, you know, travel the country and put on retreats for youth and try and, you know, just show them God's love. I never imagined that way. But when I went on this weekend, it's one of those things that is so impactful that you know it's a turning point. And it seems like everyone says that, and it's one thing or another, and it's cliche, but, you know, I think Paul said it perfectly. It's impactful. You know, it's one of those things that you go on and you're like, okay, this is something that has been overlooked. It's something that I never really gave a full thought to. And through this weekend of just being shown what it's like, because they put you on a mini retreat through the weekend, so you kind of experience what it's like as well. And just seeing how impactful it was just for us there, I knew it was something that needed to happen, and it was something that I definitely wanted and craved to be a part of after that.
That's fantastic. Now, you're in the middle right now of being a missionary. And Paul was telling us first about just the being all packed in a van and on the road you go. And I'm imagining that that has some fun parts about it. But then, of course, it becomes much deeper as you're at the actual retreat with the youth.
Yeah, definitely. And it's the packed in the van. Yeah, we have 13 people on my team in a 15-passenger van.
Wow.
With a trailer in the back. And you're packed, and it's actually really fun, though, because, I mean, it's a road trip all year. You're getting to be with people who when you start, you've only known for 5 weeks. But then halfway through, they're like family now. So it's you create these bonds with your teammates. And like you said, on retreats, we get to spend our year, our life, you know, spreading God's word. We get to put on retreats for a living while we're doing this. So it's something that is impactful to anybody and everybody who has a chance to be on that and just be a part of anything that is going on.
I think one of the things working with youth is when you find the youth who just don't really want to be there. My parents made me come. I'm not going to get anything out of this thing. And then seeing the turn in that particular youth. Have you seen this? And I'm guessing over and over you've seen it.
Yeah, you know, and how I like to put it is I like to say there's three different types of transformation in youth. And, you know, I'm by no means been studying this for a while, but from what I've seen is in my year is you get the ones who, you know, they show up and like you said, they don't want to be there. They're forced to, whether it's a parent wants them to be there for confirmation or they're just forced to go there because they have to in whatever way. And they go through this retreat and they're so resistant the whole time. And all of us have been at that age before. There's so many things going on. It's understandable. And throughout this retreat, there's this subtle change, and they don't really want to admit it.
Right.
It's one of those things that they're just like, I'm having a good time, but I don't want to admit it because I was so resistant. And that's great to see, you know, and it's amazing to see that God always shows up, you know, and you get these other youth that are excited to be there. And they want to be there, and they just take it fully, and they're not afraid to say, hey, I had an amazing time. And then you get the third ones, and these are the ones that I personally love to see the most. It's the ones that come from either a hard background or they're just so closed off that you can't get to them at all for whatever way or whatever reason. And just by purely showing them you know, the happiness, just purely showing them God's love, just purely giving them an opportunity to pray and maybe pray in a way they've never done before, you know, whether it's singing psalms or whether it's praying as a group or whatever way, shape, or form it is, telling them on how God changed our lives. You slowly see a change in this youth, and you slowly see someone who has had such a dark, closed-off past slowly have a smile and slowly just enjoying themselves at this retreat. And then by the end of it, they're saying, I didn't realize God loved me. I didn't realize that he had a plan for me, and I didn't realize that this was even possible to have because they didn't see themselves as worthy. And as we know, we're all sons and daughters of God. We're all worthy to have his love, but it's just so amazing to see a transformation, and whether it's a 2 to 2 hour to 3 day retreat, it can be so impactful. Just having that opportunity to share in God's love.
Ryan, one of the things that you just said that I love is that God always shows up. What a cool thing being a missionary to know, you know, even if you got a flat tire on the van or anything else, the one thing you can count on is God will show up.
Yeah, definitely. And there have been breakdowns in the van, and it seems like for some reason this one person's passing by who can fix it right then and there, or someone can give a tow or something. And you're right, it can be as simple as that, and not even in the retreat. And no matter what you do, if you have 13 people on fire, just 13 people who want to be there, who are striving, it's amazing how many ways God just shows up, how willing you can be to him, and how much he wants to be there supporting you. And I've never experienced that in my life previously.
Well, and then as you're ministering to the youth, knowing God will show up, and he's right here right now, and he's just breaking down that barrier somehow with the kid. And I love that joy is a part of breaking down the barrier.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that sometimes it's hard because, I mean, when you're having such a wide variety of youth that you administer to, some people just don't want you there. I mean, it's just part of it. But I kind of like getting through that barrier because, imagine a heart shape, you know, like a brick wall. And whether it's the first brick or the last brick, they're all important. Each one of those is a step to get through to them. So whether it's the one that's really hard to get through and it's a struggle, whether it's the last one and they're overjoyed, is important. And it's just being willing to be either one of those to get through to them.
I'm loving the idea of you liking the hard cases. Well, you're a firefighter. Of course you love the hard cases. And the thing, I think you're not only a firefighter in this past life, but you're a fire starter now in these hearts.
Thank you. Yeah, it's, like I said, it's something that I never thought, you know, I would ever in a million years want to do. But once I've done it, I can't see myself ever doing anything else, kind of a thing.
It's fantastic. What would you say to someone thinking about being on Net Ministries?
I would just say give it a try. You know, you really don't know what's possible. You don't know what God has in store for you unless you apply. If you apply, you go to the interview weekend, you might find something that you never thought would be possible, like I did. So just give it a try. Worst thing that happens is you try it and it's not for you. Best thing, you try it and it can change your life.
Fantastic. Well, Ryan, thank you for joining us today. I've been speaking with Ryan Lutzis, a Net Ministries missionary. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. We will be right back. Oh, no, we're going to the calendar events. The joys of being the guest host is now and again. I don't know what I'm doing.
Just like a regular host. That's fine. That's fine.
All right. So let's talk about the things that are coming up in our area. Be a part of the new evangelization in our archdiocese by proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Sign up to join in the mission by sending the text message PROCLAIMING to 84576 or go to rediscover-faith.org and sign up for the evangelization updates.
A lot of great events coming up, but before we move along too far, and again, Glenn Leverin sitting in for Paul Sadek today, but Paul, I just wanted to, you know, give you just a hearty on-air handshake about the great work that Net Ministries does. And some of the early founders of Relevant Radio in terms of the worker bees, anyway, came from Net Ministries. They started with us purely for the mission side of it, and they learned radio to be able to, you know, partake in Relevant Radio along the way.
Yeah, fabulous. I mean, it goes on to show, like we were talking with Alyssa, the amazing things that the alums from Net Ministries do as they, you know, transition, whether they go to a secular job or whether they work for a Catholic ministry. I think the impact that they have is just is awesome.
And we've experienced it here too. So
absolutely.
Just wanted to thank you for sending Louis Matos a shout out from
Louis
from
here.
Way back.
All right.
Back to the announcements here. First Saturday mornings of reflection at the Cathedral in St. Paul are mini retreats in accord with Our Lady's instruction at Fatima. They're designed to foster greater devotion, understanding, and living out the gospel of Christ in the world. Coming up on Saturday, January 7th, you're invited to hear Lisa Schmitz, Executive Director of Abria Pregnancy Resources. She'll offer two conferences on the struggle to build a culture of life and authentically living the gospel of life, a witness from the front lines. The morning of recollection begins with 8 a.m. Mass and concludes with exposition at noon. For more information, visit the events page at archspm.org or visit cathedralst.paul.org.
Mark your calendars for the next Women's Breakfast at the Church of St. Helena in Minneapolis. It'll be on Saturday, January 14th at 8:30 a.m. Deacon Dan Gannon will be speaking on Affirming Human Life at the End of Life in Rowan Hall. The cost of the breakfast is $5 and reservations are requested. Please call 612-729-7321. That's 612-729-7321. Women are also invited to St. Helena's 8 a.m. Mass prior to the breakfast.
St. Hubert's Catholic community invites all men to attend the Men on Fire retreat. It's presented by the John Paul II Healing Center. The disciples were transformed from fearful hiding to confident and bold world changers. Answer the call of St. John Paul II to become who you are. Set the world on fire. That event, January 20th and 21st, Friday 6 to 9:30, Saturday 8 to 5. Lunch is included on Saturday. Register online, $50 per person. More info is available at John Paul II Healing, says jp2healingcenter.org. Click on Events and Retreats or go to the events page at relevantradio.com.
This January, the King's House Retreat Center in Buffalo, Minnesota, is holding two Men's Silent Weekend retreats on Reawakening Hope. The first Silent Retreat weekend is being held from January 13th to 15th, and the second weekend being held from January 20th to 22nd. A Woman's Silent Retreat weekend on Reawakening Hope will take place at the King's House on January 27th to 29th. For more information, visit kingshouse.com.
And Lectio Divina is Latin for divine reading, meaning to pray with Scripture. By stilling your soul and opening it up to the Holy Spirit, you'll find that reading, meditation, prayer, and contemplation, the four steps of Lectio Divina, will open your heart to receive the truths that Jesus wants to show you. The Office of Evangelization and Catechesis invites you to a Lectio Divina workshop with Father Jonathan Kelly. It's at Good Shepherd Catholic Church in Golden Valley. Workshop is 6:30 to 8 p.m. Tuesday, January 31st. A light dinner will be served and free will offering accepted. You can register at archspm.org/intentional prayer. And with that, well, great job, Alyssa. Thanks for filling in. We're out of time. You have the last word.
Well, thank you for being here, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everyone. More straight ahead here on Relevant Radio.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.